Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, when it comes to performance nutrition, there is a lot of noise, but only a handful of supplements actually stand up to scientific scrutiny. So is creatine the secret weapon for your gym bag, or is it just more hype? Joining us is Daniel Davey, performance nutritionist. Daniel, you're very welcome.
Thank you, as always.
The voice of reason in this. It is getting a lot of hype. Protein was getting a lot of hype. Now we seem to have moved to creatine. Where do you stand when it comes to the noise around supplementation?
Okay, so that's different to creatine. I suppose the noise around supplementation has always been there and will always be there because of the opportunity to make an awful lot of money. I mean, we're talking about a multi-billion euro dollar industry. So people, naturally, it's just human nature, will look for ways to benefit their health or performance with the least amount of effort. That is just unfortunately the way it is. So, and the industry responds with giving plenty of options.
And I think it's worth people knowing that a lot of the supplement industry, rather shockingly, is not certified. So people can put things on bottles, make all kinds of claims. You need to be really careful where you're taking your nutrition and supplement advice from.
Yeah, we're actually in Ireland, there are some pretty strong standards and legislation around what you can say around products, but it's more products that come in from outside of Ireland and maybe that aren't produced here. So you're right. And evidence it will go out the window with a lot of products. It's like what will catch people's attention rather than where the strength of the evidence lies. And I actually started my career working in this space, and there's a whole thing around label claim and putting in as many things in here that might catch people's attention. Like that's where the whole thing had started. But even something that might have some evidence for benefit is put in at a micro level. So that's a very common thing that you'll see. I mean, a very simple one to refer to here is like the levels of EPA, DHA, which is in omega-3, for example. You can have products sold and it mightn't even have a third of what's needed to be beneficial. So it does that kind of thing. That's very common in the supplement industry as well.
Yeah, and that's why you hear about very expensive pee.
Yes.
It's not doing anything to your body, but...
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, let's deal with creatine because it is one of the most well-researched sports supplements. So who is it for?
Well, I think that initially it was for people who trained at a certain level, who were looking for performance benefits, people who wanted to build strength, who wanted to improve performance on multiple levels. So it was often viewed as something that athletes would take. They've got high training demands, high volumes, and they want to do more work. They want to be able to add more volume to their training. And creatine works in a very simple way. Creatine works by helping to produce more energy. So it's the explosive type of movements that you would see in sprinting or in the gym. So where there's a lot of those fast reps, what creatine does is provide the body with the ability to produce more ATP or energy for those reps. So it's just about the volume. It's about being able to do more. So it started with it being an athlete-focused supplement.
So when we hear the word athlete, I mean, I think of somebody at professional level or going to the Olympics. But if you are training for a marathon or you go to CrossFit or High Rocks or the gym on a regular basis, should you consider yourself to be an athlete?
I think it's important to know that where creatine would have been relevant would have been in so repeated sprint or performances or athletes or people who were participating in high intensity, repeated bouts of high intensity exercise, which wouldn't have included something like marathon. But this is where the kind of the evolution of this, it is that there are a huge number of people now who are participating in sport recreationally in their own mind, but they're actually performing at levels that could be considered in the space of what you would define as an athlete, like you've described, things like High Rocks. Now we have marathon and different races that would have been, again, traditionally social, but is demanding a huge amount of our bodies. So linking back to creatine, the potential benefits of creatine are suggested now to be outside of just those people who are, I suppose, involved or participating in those high intensity exercise sessions. So there's now there's the potential for it to benefit the retention of muscle, retention of strength, and it's been linked an awful lot more even to people who are active, but also looking to, as they age, maintain strength, function, muscle, and overall health.
I have also read a few articles linking creatine to brain health, cognition, mm-hmm. and mood. What's the latest research around that?
So, yeah, it is emerging. And even when I knew I was going to be on the call, I did a little bit of reading myself. And there is some research to suggest that it may help to enhance brain cognition or brain function, enhance memory. And it is in the, it's under fatigue. So it's where maybe there's sleep deprivation or where people are feeling like they're under a lot of physical or mental stress, where creatine potentially has the ability to bring that little bit more clarity or help with memory. It is very early stages within research, but it is promising. And it is suggested that creatine may act like a buffer, or it may act as something whereby the brain is under stress. Like, if you think about any machine or any active part of the body, it's under fatigue, it's under stress. And creatine, again, through that same mechanism, is helping to provide it with energy, so ATP, and that allows for better stability within the brain, enhancing its function.
So it's interesting. It seems that there is emerging science around it being beneficial, be you active or not, even though obviously the more active you are, the better your health in the long term. But if you are somebody who is very active and very much into their fitness, when you're taking it, how should you feel? How will you know it's working or benefiting you?
Well, that's the big question. And I think just to take maybe a step back for a moment, if you were to ask me about somebody saying, well, you know, I'm considering taking creatine, well, I'll still ask all of the same questions. I'll still go through your nutrition. I will still look at your energy intake, your carbohydrate intake, the amount of healthy fat and fiber, and your overall holistic approach to your nutrition. So are you getting enough sleep? Are you participating in exercise at levels that are recommended for you based on your goals? So you work through all of these variables that matter most. And the bottom line, Claire, and you and I have talked about this a lot, is that most people aren't even meeting the recommendations for the pillars of health. So then people are really interested in shortcuts, and creatine has all of this evidence and there's all this exciting information about it, which is super. So I don't want to downplay the promising research, but we know that it is always going to be the fundamentals that have the biggest impact on our health. If you're doing all of those and you are exercising and you're looking to add creatine, there's very little downsides. And I know that's what will be the thing that people take away from this. Will you know it's benefiting you? If you are training and you've got a baseline fitness, let's say it is in strength or it is in that kind of those higher intensity levels, it's very easy to measure. Yeah, I mean, you'll feel like your recovery is better and you're able to increase the intensity of volume of work that you're doing. Will you notice the difference day to day in energy or brain function? Very, very hard to know.
I think it's such an important point that with any supplement, it's supplementing a healthy lifestyle. It's an add-on. So nutrition and lifestyle first. There isn't a magic pill. Not yet. And what about young people under the age of 18? We've got a lot more interest in health, in fitness, in bodybuilding. Should under 18s be taking it?
Well, any, I guess anybody who works in this space will know that adolescents or youth athletes or anybody in that are interested in their health, no matter how much information that they've absorbed or whatever skill level that they're at, there's next to no youth athletes that need to be focusing on things like creatine at that stage of development. It is so important to nurture the right type of relationship with food and nutrition and to have all of those really fundamental skills in place. And then as your understanding and then as your experience improves, then you can consider these type of things. But we're talking about children. Do they need creatine? Absolutely not. Now, I think it's important to say that there's no negative, to date, there's no negative side effects that come from creatine consumption taken at the recommended dosage. I think that's really important. It is in the case where people exceed that, that sometimes you can have water retention and maybe some digestive issues. But does not mean that you've got a green light to go and take it. I mean, that's the bottom line here. You've got so much work to do on your overall health before you consider any supplement.
And creatine is already found in foods like beef, pork, fish. So,
yes.
You know, making sure that you're hitting your protein goals, that should be sufficient.
Exactly. And that will cover the vast majority of your needs. So taking creatine just saturates your muscle with creatine with a little bit more. But you're absolutely right. Like fish and meat are some of the best sources. And that's why a lot of vegetarians and maybe people who don't consume an awful lot of animal protein products tend to find greater benefits from creatine, or it's a little bit more noticeable.
And women as much as men, I do feel like there's sometimes a shortfall in this, that when we think about supplementation, something like creatine, I know anecdotally that there are women who think that's for men, that's for bodybuilders, but we all need lean muscle mass for our long-term health.
Yeah, we do. And it was very, very interesting. I don't know if you saw it or not, but there was a young woman, she's a personal trainer, came to me a couple of months ago, and she is in a space of influence. She's working with a lot of other women and she's lean and athletic. And we did a little case study where she wanted to build strength and she wanted to build some muscle mass through an 8-week period. What was fascinating with her, like we're only talking about a case study of one individual, but she improved all aspects of her performance. Like even her, you know, her deadlift improved, her strength went up, her overall performance in the gym. Like she saw huge, like 10-15%, which is all, you know, it's levels that she hadn't hit before. But when we did, we looked at her body composition as well as one of the measures. She didn't increase muscle mass at all. And her body weight, or it was no physical changes except her performance levels went up. And her reflection on it was how critical and how important it is to meet your energy and nutrient needs, and how difficult it is to build that muscle and strength if you're not consuming enough of those key nutrients based on your own needs. So yes, creatine can bring these performance benefits, but if you're looking for those improvements, it just does not work in isolation. And that's the most important message.
And Daniel, I've been that case study with you. I've walked that path. And that's why it's so important that as this conversation has been, that we shift our expectations from how we look or what the measurements say to how we feel. And, you know, that was a success for that trainer. What she did was a success. You know, it's not based on muscle alone. Well, thank you very much. As always, the voice of reason. Where can people find you?
Daniel Davey online and davynutrition.com. And thanks, as always, for allowing me to have a really good balanced conversation on it. And my summary is there exciting developments in creatine? Yes. But there's an awful lot of factors to consider before it's put on the table as an option for you.
Performance nutritionist Daniel Davey, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.